Well, a Gallup poll asked Americans to rate the honesty and ethical standards of various professions. The top six professions are nurses, who came in very well, pharmacists, medical doctors, high school teachers, policemen, and unfortunately, clergy didn't make it until sixth place. So that doesn't say a whole lot there. But the two lowest rated, not too surprisingly, are car salesmen and telemarketers. And if we have anybody going into car salesmanship or telemarketers among us, please forgive me. I did not make these statistics, and I think very highly of you, but statistically, that's the fact, according to a 2005 poll. It seems that for many people, honesty is not, in fact, the best policy. Take, for example, the woman who came home from a day of shopping to find a message on her answering machine. It was from a friend who needed a character reference for a job. The friend said that she needed someone to verify that she was an honest and trustworthy person. But because her friend wasn't home when she called, she took it upon herself to fill out the reference form and forged her friend's signature. Talk about honesty and integrity, eh? Well, Mark Twain said a lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is still lacing up her boots. And isn't that true? Lies seem to go so fast. Dishonesty spreads quicker than anything. We live in a day when lying, dishonesty, is commonplace, even accepted as normal. Spouses often lie to one another in the name of keeping the peace. Parents sometimes lie to their children, and, well, children sometimes lie to their parents. And we almost consider it a game. Employers lie about upcoming pay raises, and employees often practice dishonesty in the workplace. Advertisers lie to sell products. And somebody mentioned politicians earlier, and they have been known to stretch things and make things look a certain way and not hold to it. Lying is so commonplace that people don't even think of it as unusual. And really, it isn't all that unusual, unfortunately. Right from the beginning, we find lies. The first time we see Satan in the Bible, he is lying to man about God. And the next time we see Satan is in the book of Job, and this time he's lying to God about man. It just seems like whenever we run into this shady character, he's lying. Jesus said it well in John chapter 8, verse 44. He was speaking to the Pharisees. He said, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him." And this is the part that gets me. "When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." That should tell us why lying is a problem, where it comes from. Lying is contrary to the nature and character of God. In Hebrews 6:18, it says that it is impossible for God to lie. Not just that God doesn't want to lie or finds lying, dishonesty, displeasing. It says that it is contrary. It is impossible for God to lie. That's part of his nature, is truth. And all along these 7 weeks, as we've been doing this series, Spiritual Disciplines of for Ordinary People, we've been learning about ways in which God works in us and shapes us and molds us so that our lives come in line with the nature and character of God, so that our lives would be a reflection of God. And so it shouldn't surprise us then that if God's nature is one of truth, that God would not be pleased with dishonesty. That shouldn't be a surprise. And in fact, according to the Scriptures, it isn't a surprise. Psalms 15, verse 1 and 2 declares, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless, and who does what is righteous, and who speaks the truth from his heart. Who speaks the truth. That's so important for the Lord. Jesus said that it's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. And so if we are not speaking truth, the problem is what's in our heart. Psalm 51:6 said, surely you desire truth in the inner parts, because truth comes from within. It's not something we can just sort of put on. It's not like a mask we can wear. Oh, I'll put on truth today just for a little while, make it look good. But it comes from within us. And if it's not within us, that's what we need to deal with. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. This is so important to the Lord. Look at what Revelation 21, verse 8 says, and where it puts lying. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Can you imagine the Scripture putting liars in the same line with murderers and sorcerers? Can you imagine that? How displeasing that must be to the Lord. Again in Revelation 22:15, outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Friends, if that doesn't wake us up to be people of integrity, of truth, I don't know what would. It's pretty plain right there. And of course, the text that I really wanted to look at this morning, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, says, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. And then there's the reason, for we are all members of one body. Now, I admit that we are dealing with a topic here today that is a struggle for all of us. If we are truthful, we will admit that we have many ways, sometimes clever ways, of compromising the truth. And we're not just talking about out-and-out lies. What we're really talking about is compromising the truth. Many ways. First of all, there's the fib. Everyone know what a fib is? I really don't know what a fib is. I imagine that it's kind of like a baby lie. I don't know. Just a little lie, you know? Almost cute-like. You know, I think VeggieTales did it very well when they made the show Larry Boy and the Fib from Outer Space. That was one of the very first films I seen from VeggieTales, and I loved it. And it showed this cute, cute little creature that was called, I think, Phibius. I can't remember. And a lovely, adorable little guy. And how, as the people were lying more and more, he grew bigger and bigger and turned into an outrageous monster ravaging the city. And it was only when the people told the truth that the giant monster was defeated. But it started off with a cute little fib. There's the fib. Then there's the white lie, which, again, I'm not entirely sure what a white lie is. Maybe it's something like a white witch, you know, a sanitized version of something that's evil. I don't think it washes with the Lord. Either way, it's evil. Then there's the half-truths, when you don't tell the whole truth, but you sort of leave something out on purpose. There's deception, there's misleading information, which might technically be truth, but it sends you in the wrong direction. That's not honesty. There's stretching the truth, and of course, there's exaggeration, which I've told you about a million times already. All of these serve the same purpose, to mislead someone from the absolute truth. I know I've done these, and you probably have too. Sometimes you might not even intend to say something that is anything other than the 100% truth, but before you know it, you've blurted out a response to someone's question, and it came so natural, and you thought about it and said, oh, that wasn't right. How did I do that? And by then, you're too ashamed to turn back and admit that, no, that wasn't what I meant or what I said. And Paul writes to put off falsehood, to live truthfully, to speak truthfully, because we are members of one body. These are Christians that he's writing to in Ephesians. These aren't the filthy sinners. But as far as the scripture is concerned, those who practice falsehood, they're in the same line with the murderers and the idolaters and the sexually immoral and those who practice magic arts. In other words, what the scripture is saying is, don't think you're better. If you're not a man or woman of integrity, of truth, you're not any better than any of the rest of them. It's easy to stretch things. Some people, for example, have a hard time being honest about their age or their weight. I know I don't have that problem. I readily admit I'm 34 years old and weigh approximately 165 pounds. Okay. Maybe that's not the truth. In fact, it isn't the truth. I'm 47 and I'm in the neighborhood of 205 pounds, okay? The neighborhood. So I got a large neighborhood, okay? Kidding aside, it is so easy for us to stretch or withhold the truth, especially when it benefits us, like tax returns. If we don't declare all of our income. Have we ever claimed a day's work when we didn't put in an honest day's work? When we claimed a day's pay, but we didn't put in an honest day's work? Has that ever happened to you? Have we ever cheated on a test? Ever? Ever lied to get out of trouble? Ever misrepresented the truth? Have we ever complimented someone when we really didn't mean it? Have we ever kept silent when we should have told the truth or made ourselves appear better than we are? Lied to get an advantage or misled in order to save face? Have you ever said to someone, I'll pray for you, or I've been praying for you, and we haven't done it? It's so easy to mess up here. Everything in our sinful nature craves to get away with things, to make ourselves look better than what we are. And unless we are honest, we're going nowhere. Nowhere good, that is. Can you imagine a world where everyone always told the truth? The fish that got away wouldn't be twice the size of the ones that you caught. We would always trust everything that people said to us. Why, we wouldn't have to have legal, we wouldn't have to have expensive legal arguments and agreements and contracts. There would be no such thing as fine print. If everyone always told the truth, there would be no backlog in the court systems, because the guilty would admit their guilt, and those who said they were not guilty, we can trust. All salespeople would tell you only the truth about their product. And the people who return things to the stores would also be honest. And best of all, you can always believe your spouse, which I hope you already do if you're married, and never question the word of your kids when they tell you what they've done or where they've been. That's the kind of world, that's the kind of living God calls for us. But that kind of honesty doesn't come without a cost. It costs to be honest. When you've cheated somebody of something and you want to come clean, it costs you. You've got to make restitution. We looked at that a number of weeks ago. The story's told of Cleveland Stroud, who had coached the Blue Collar Bulldogs, some basketball team, for 18 years before they made it to the state championship. Can you imagine coaching for 18 years until you finally get to the championship round? Stroud recalls that it was the perfect night when they won, a night that you dream of. He was carried around the gym on the shoulders of his players. The local paper put his picture on the front page. But 2 months after the championship, during a routine grade check, Stroud discovered that one of his players was academically ineligible to have been on the team. That player had only played 45 seconds during a regional qualifying round, but he had still played. Stroud struggled with what to do. Winning is the most important thing to any coach, he said, but your principles have to be higher than your goals. And with that mindset, he reported his error to the league, and his team forfeited the trophy. When he was asked why he did that, he said, "You got to do what is honest, what is right, and what the rules say. People," and this is the important part, "people forget the scores of basketball games, but they don't ever forget what you are made of." And isn't that the truth? And the scripture calls us to be made of something a lot better than what this world would give. Just because being truthful is hard, or because it's inconvenient, or because it could be costly, doesn't make truth expendable. William Shakespeare wrote, "No legacy is so rich as honesty." How's that for something to leave your kids? If God's people, if we are to be anything at all, we need to be honest. We need to say what we mean and mean what we say, and we need to represent the truth in all matters. Being careful not to intentionally mislead anyone. And yet we know that sometimes the hardest place to be honest is in the church. You see, it's quite natural. We want people to believe we have it all together, that we have no spiritual problems, that we're just wonderful people. We hear a sermon and we think, "Amen, preacher, my neighbor needs to hear that." Never thinking that perhaps God sent that message for ourselves. It's like a spiritual pride. And if the church is to be anything, it must be a place for honesty, both in the ways we conduct ourselves towards others, as well as honest self-evaluation. Romans 12:3 says to think of yourself with sober judgment. Only then will we be taking the form of our Master. God wants to do a work in us. We need to be careful not to hinder that. When we watch an old Western Take Gunsmoke, for example, or any movie you can think of. You see the town, the western town with the stores and the hotels and unfortunately even the saloons. But really, none of those buildings are real. They're not even empty shells. They're just a front. That's all they are. There's nothing behind. There's nothing to back them up. They are empty in the back. And if we are not people of integrity, of honesty, if our word isn't trustworthy, if our Christian life isn't real, and perhaps most importantly, if we don't have an honest evaluation of our lives, we are only building an empty front. And while it might look good, it has no substance. As Christians, we are tempted to put on a front. When we are around others, we need to be real. And the only way to be real is through honest self-evaluation, sober judgment, as Romans put it, and integrity. Speaking the truth in all matters. I want to encourage you, as I am encouraged and challenged by Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, to put off falsehood and speak truthfully in all matters. May God help us to be a church, a people of truth, because, as Paul wrote to the Ephesians, we are all members of one body. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we look to you this morning because we know that in ourselves we can deceive ourselves. The heart is deceitful, Lord, and we can conjure up all kinds of great things about our lives which aren't the truth, Lord God. And Father God, I know how easy it is for us to speak things that are not representative of truth. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, each one of us, Lord, speak to us in the quietness of this moment, Lord, to be people of integrity, of truth, Lord. Where we have failed, where we have done wrong, Lord, help us, Father, to do right, Lord God. Not to try to make ourselves look better than what we are, but to be honest with ourselves, honest with you, and honest with your people, Lord, the body of Christ. And I pray, Lord, that as we do this, that we will grow, that we will be deepened in our faith, Lord God, and that we will reflect the image of God in our lives, for that is your desire for us. We pray that it would be so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.